You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Dr. Kate DeVries, and I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and a wonderful, happy, blessed New Year to everyone. And I'm here with my colleague in Young Adult Ministry, the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Kate. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How were your holidays?
Fabulous. Thank you. And yours?
Good. Very good.
Excellent.
Very good. We have an exciting hour today,
yes,
I think.
Yes, we do. We're going to ask people to think a little bit.
That's right. And
yeah.
We're going to do some planning.
Yes.
And
looking forward.
As Kate mentioned, we are the people who are privileged to work in the Office of Young Adult Ministry for the Archdiocese, which is our Catholic Church's outreach in our diocese to those in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, young adults.
Yes.
And one of the key issues in that world is money, money, money makes the world go round.
Money, money, money.
And so this morning,
how do you get it? What do you do with it? What is it? How do you save it? How does it all come together?
Right. And how do we use it for the greater good of the world in
yes.
which we live as well and for ourselves?
Yes.
And so that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on the holy use of money.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we're actually following the lead of the I&M Canal, the I&M Yacht Club, which is led by Julie Kristen and some wonderful young adults out in the southwest suburbs. And Julie is with us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
Good
Thank
morning,
you.
Julie. Happy New Year to
Good
you.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you, Father Cusick.
To you and your husband, Paul. You're doing well?
We're doing very well.
Great.
Yay.
And actually, Julie, it's from your Yacht Club topic last night that we stole the idea for the show this morning.
So thank you for that.
And tell us a little bit about what the I&M Canal Yacht Club, which is Young Adult Catholics Hanging Together, used as a topic last evening out in the burbs.
Our topic was financial planning for young adults, and we had John Lasota, who is a financial planner in Lamont, come and speak to us.
Okay.
And he, for the most part, opened it up for questions and said, all right, just ask me, you know, it's free time. What is it that young adults need to know about their finances? And so there were a lot of good questions that came out of it.
Give us a couple for instances in terms of those questions.
The for instances were, is there such a thing as good debt and bad debt?
Okay, that's good.
And at what age do you put your finances in a trust?
Well,
does everyone need a financial planner? So if you're just a young adult, fresh out of college, not making a lot of money, do you need a financial planner?
Mm-hmm.
How much money should you be putting away every month?
Okay, so that's the whole issue of savings.
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
What about life insurance? Does a single young person need life insurance? And what are the different types of life insurance?
Okay, good.
The other thing that came up was about taking care of our parents. And
right.
because a lot of us are going to have to start taking over our parents' finances mm-hmm. in the next few years, do older folks who don't own a house need a trust?
Okay.
What's the difference between a will and trust?
Good. Wow, this was really quite a compendium of
You
of
did that in 2 hours, too? That was good.
The financial word.
But the questions get answered.
Wow, that's terrific. That's terrific.
There you go.
And were people pleased?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, there were a lot of people taking notes and writing things down.
One thing, Julie, that this triggers, when you talked about life insurance, I came across a situation within the last year, and it was rather sad. It's a young man, and I think part of the problem of people living in their 20s and 30s is there's a relative sense of immortality, that things will not go wrong. And he bought his first condo and decided he didn't need homeowners insurance / fire insurance. And there was a fire in the building which destroyed his condo. And without insurance, he right now has no way until there's a legal settlement within the building, which will take years, to almost rebuild his property. And he said, I never thought it would happen to me. And I think that's one of the scary things. And that's why financial planning and our time together this morning is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
Well, we're at that age, where young adults are at that age where we think we have all these years ahead of us and that we don't have to worry about things for 20 to 30 years down the road.
Right.
So right now we can just continue living day to day.
Right.
And that's what the financial planner was telling us, is you can't live that way.
It's a lot more than living in the moment.
Right.
It's living for the long haul and obviously creating some goals and some dreams in terms of finances. Well, that's terrific.
So, Julie, to fast forward a little bit, by the end of the evening, was there one particular thought that stayed with you? Or, you know, at the end of the evening, was there one a particular insight, a particular, piece that's worth passing on?
One of the big pieces was, even if you can only put away $5 a month, put it away.
Okay.
Put away something. And John Lasota said, as a Catholic young adult, we should practice discipline in every part of our life, and that includes finances.
Mm, okay.
And practice the discipline of putting something away. When you have more money, put more away. And then he gave an example of compounding money, and he wrote a check to somebody for a dollar. And then he said to somebody else, I'm going to give you a penny. He said, I gave them a dollar, but you get a penny. And then he said, but your penny, I'm going to compound it every day. And so today you get one penny. Tomorrow you get two pennies. The next day you get four pennies. And he said, I'm going to do this for 30 days. And he had a chart. By the end of the month, it would be $10 million.
Yep. Very cool.
And he said, you got a dollar, but wow. You get a penny.
Wow. Yeah. So there's some strategy.
There is strategy.
Sure. Okay. That's wonderful. And, Julie, we are very privileged because of the wisdom that you have sort of capsulized from those who were present with Mr. Lasota last night. We're going to open this up this morning to three people who surround Kate and me here in the in our radio studio this morning. And to my right, Rich Good is with us, who works for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Rich?
Good morning, Father.
Good morning. And my recollection is that you deal with the issue of stewardship within the diocese?
I do. I work with the Department of Stewardship and Development.
Terrific. And then across from me is one of my former colleagues when we were teenagers. And we shared a wonderful job in common, and I became his first boss in this world. And that's Dan Coyne. We caddied together at Beverly Country Club and grew up on the mighty southwest side of Chicago, and now Dan is a practicing attorney in Chicago. And Dan, welcome.
Thank you, John. Good morning.
And one of the things you mentioned to me, you brought to my memory yesterday, is that part of your responsibility at the law firm deals with the retirement issues.
Is structuring and running the retirement plans for all of the employees.
And a lot of those are young adults in the firm.
That's right.
Okay, very
and
good.
And some who have been young adults before.
That's right, haven't we?
and are looking forward to good retirements because of planning.
Wonderful. And then lastly with us this morning is the father of my goddaughter, Sharon. This is Jeff Josephs. Jeff and I go way back together, and Jeff and Mary gave me the privilege of presiding at their wedding and baptizing their five children, and honored me with the ability to be the godfather to their thirdborn, Sharon. And Jeff, good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. Good morning.
And Jeff, you're somebody that I've sent people to on occasion who have financial questions, and you've got a wonderful financial head on your shoulders. And so this morning when we come back, Kate, from a break, we're going to take a lot of the issues that Julie has raised. Would that be okay, Rich? And we're going to go at these a little bit and see if we can do some honest financial planning and live beyond the here and now.
Julie, thanks so much for starting us off so well. Best wishes with
Thank
the
you.
Yacht Club.
Thank Excellent. You very much.
Have a great day. And to all our listeners, we'll be talking about financial planning and the holy use of money. So please stay with us.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development helps fund organizations that break the cycle of poverty and make Chicagoland a better place to live.
Our organization conducted a summer academic camp on Chicago's South Side to keep kids safe, off the streets, and help them succeed in school.
Thanks to our efforts, the EPA is cleaning up industrial pollution that is threatening residents in scores of homes in Little Village.
We have been fighting to keep a well-respected nursing home open in Lake County.
We teach homeless women a useful craft, pay them a living wage, and offer them transitional housing if needed.
Those are just a few examples of the wonderful work being done by the more than 20 local organizations funded by the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Let's break the cycle of poverty and make Chicago and the suburbs a better place to live.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
We are back with more of The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and we have Rich Good, Dan Coyne, and Jeff Josephs with us, talking about financial planning and setting yourself up to do well in the future. And Jeff, why don't we start with you? Just in general, Jeff, could you just give us some insights, some thoughts on healthy financial planning?
I guess I'd like to address a few of the things that came up last night in the meeting, particularly with respect to savings and debt. In order to save, you really need to project what your living expenses are, maintain control over them, and what I like to refer to as assemble a budget for yourself of fixed expenses. You know what you what you need to pay every month in terms of housing, in terms of transportation, in terms of charitable contributions. And in terms of a savings plan, if you want to do that, project that for yourself.
And I'll bet, Jeff, online you can find all sorts of resources to get you started with a budget that all you do is fill in the dots.
Yeah. And it's very beneficial to do that before you would agree to a lease for an apartment, for a mortgage, so that you know what you're looking at down the road and really live within your means.
So, Jeff, the foundation on which all of this is built is your fixed expenses.
Exactly.
This is what goes out from my check every single month. And then you write that down, and then you move from there.
Right, exactly. And knowing that, you're going to get a lot more comfortable with what else you can spend money on.
Right.
In terms of trips, in terms of other expenses, so that you know really what you'll be taking care of in the future.
Buying things, technological toys, all those kind of things.
Exactly. And also to make sure that in order to project for your long-term savings, is to use whatever is available to you from your employer in terms of a 401k plan. Max that out. It's your best tax deferral strategy you have available to you. And in many situations, employers will match those contributions.
So as soon as you are, there's a word, isn't it, in a company that you're vetted into a company or
vested
into a company, go for the max.
The maximum.
As quickly
as
you can in terms of what the employer is going to offer you.
Right.
And the company will have people to walk with you through this, right? So the benefits department of the company will – somebody could sit with you. Julie's question about do you need a financial planner, there may be one available to you.
Usually the company will provide that education for you.
There you go.
And they'll have at least once a year meetings for you
yes.
in terms of 401k plans.
Okay,
so Jeff, you've laid the foundation. Where do we go from there?
Well, after you've arranged for your budget and you start your savings, then really it's for you to project a little further down the road, what is it you want to have available to you in the next year or so? What liquid money may you need for the next year in terms of a change in location, in terms of school, or in the terms of in the situation if you may lose your job? Standard rule of thumb is you really should have 1 year's salary saved up somewhere in a liquid investment so that you have that available to you.
So in other words, if you had like a savings account
exactly.
that you can get at, you don't want something that's locked in.
Or a money market fund.
Okay.
Something that's liquid that you can turn and sell quickly.
Okay. Liquid and conservative.
Right.
Okay. Because it's a fluid world out there, not only in terms of the economy, but in terms of the job market.
Exactly.
You know?
And
so,
you can't predict what's going to happen in the
right.
future.
And so if you could set aside some money for that technically rainy day where you may lose your job or be out of work, you're not going to go into crazy debt.
Right.
In order to pay your mortgage and a variety of other things. Would that be the idea behind it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then money beyond that, you may want to invest in the stock market. You may want to invest in mutual funds. But those investments, really, you should be designing those for money you don't need for the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
So that's not something that you're gonna have to touch. Because otherwise, you really don't know what's going to happen in the market tomorrow or next year, for that matter.
So the world in which we see ourselves right now, in early January 2008, the market has been getting beat up since the first of the year.
Right.
And so if you all of a sudden needed that money, you are probably 10% down from what you were a week ago.
Exactly.
Right. And so it's more long-term money.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. What else do you have for us?
With respect to one of the questions last night was about debt. Is there good debt and
right.
bad
good
debt?
Good debt and bad debt. I thought that was a really a good question.
That's
Did you think
question.
That, Rich?
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I think there is good debt and bad debt. Do you agree, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. And really one of the things that I focus on when I have talked to people is the use of credit cards. It is if you don't control your spending and you run up balances, you can have huge balances owed, and the interest rates on credit cards are astronomical, 15-18%. And that interest is not deductible. So you get no tax benefit from paying that interest as well. So if you ever find yourself in a situation you have a lot of credit card debt and you do own a home, one way out of that is to convert it to a home equity loan. Get a home equity loan, pay off your debt. It's a lot lower rate. That is what I would say is good debt. If you do need to have debt, at least then you're going to have tax deductions for that home equity, any loan debt.
But credit card debt is, in essence, bad debt.
Yes, it's a loser's game. It
right.
really is. It's difficult.
And I suppose when you think of the logic of it, it's silly to have a savings account or a mutual fund account bringing in 5% when you're pouring out 18-20%
exactly.
in credit card debt. You're not saving.
Right.
But it's even more basic than that. A lot of credit card debt is consumption debt. You buy something, it's consumed, it's not long-term,
okay.
it's not a long benefit for you. If you have credit cards and you use, you should pay them off when the bill comes so you don't incur the interest expense.
Okay. So that's the goal then. The goal is when the bill comes,
you're paid off.
The bill comes, you have the financial wherewithal because of your discipline to write a check for that amount.
But even before that, it's when you charge that, because if the bill comes and you've charged too much, you may not have the resources to pay it off.
Right.
A suggestion to think, since we have a young audience primarily out there, is set a rule, $100, $200, don't spend it unless you go to sleep on it and come back the next day.
Okay.
You're not going to lose opportunities, but you're probably going to avoid expenditures you wouldn't otherwise have made.
So, Dan Coyne, what you're suggesting is be very cautious of impulse buying.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, you're in the Best Buy, and here is this fabulous plasma TV, and you're saying sleep on it. Come back tomorrow.
Not only that, it will cost you less. If you charge it now and you pay the 18% interest on it for a year, and it was $1,000, it's $1,180 if it's 18% interest. If you wait 10 months, you can probably buy it for $800 because prices tend to go down on the same model.
And you have saved.
And save the money,
right.
and you compound what you can get out
right.
of it.
So instead of paying off the credit card with interest, you're putting aside the money.
Save the money
for it.
And okay. Delay your purchase.
Wonderful. And we are going to take a pause for another break. You are listening to The Light Show on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we will be right back.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back. I'm Father John Cusick, and along with my colleague in the Young Adult Ministry Office, Dr. Kate DeVries, we are delighted to be with you in early 2008, and we have with us today talking about money, of all things, as important as it is. We can't live with it sometimes, and we can't live without it. We have Rich Good from the Stewardship Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, Dan Coyne, who is a practicing attorney in downtown Chicago and does a lot of the retirement packages for people in the law firm, many of whom are younger people today, and a dear friend of mine, Jeff Josephs, who is just a whiz-bang at financial planning, and I've sent a number of people to Jeff to sit down and say, let's take a look and see which kind of a path. Now, the fun thing of radio shows is oftentimes the best part of the show is when we're at a break. And we had this wonderful conversation going about credit cards and credit card debt, because we were focusing, Jeff, with you on that at the last segment of the show. And Rich Good had a wonderful insight, which, again, is the technological world of young adult people. And that has to do with being able to pull up your credit card expense sheet almost on a daily basis on the internet. Rich, yeah. Would you bring that? That was just a wonderful thought.
I no longer qualify as a young adult, but when I did, this wasn't an option. And so when I first got out into the world working, when I got the credit card billed every month, it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. I kind of had a sense, but every once in a while it was higher than I thought it would be. And as most everybody knows, you don't have to do it that way anymore. You can check your credit card balance and exactly what you've spent every day. And it is a great resource, because if the 15th of the month comes around and you've been a bit too generous with yourself, you can slow down.
Okay, good point. All right. And so the suggestion then would be, in terms of financial planning, if you do use a lot of credit cards, and the younger world certainly does, the world of plastic is oftentimes a much more important world than the world of paper, go online. Pull up your credit card balance sheet and take a look at what is not going to be a surprise this month. And as Rich is saying, if you've overspent, you have days to stop and then begin to figure out where that money is going to come from.
We also mentioned that it's much more difficult to spend cash than it is to flip out that credit card. So if you're, you know, not to carry a lot of cash around, but, you know, to watch. And Jeff, you talked about the difference between the credit card and the debit card.
Yeah, what's that all? I'm an old guy. I don't know about all of these things.
My son's going to be going to college next year, and I'm really reluctant to give him a credit card. But a debit card goes right into your bank account.
Okay.
And so it's a way to really avoid the situation where you're overspending, as long as that still is maintained. But it is a way to use plastic and he doesn't have to carry a lot of cash around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, using Rich's insight here about the internet, would your son be able to go online and look at what the balance is?
Exactly.
So he cannot spend all of your and Mary's money.
Exactly.
All of a sudden call one day and
say,
"Dad,
okay.
The plastic melted." Yeah, okay.
Very beneficial to do that.
Right. Okay, so that's good wisdom for someone going off to school.
Right.
At the other end of the spectrum is this thing called retirement, Dan Coyne. Now, when I grew up living with my mom and dad at home, my dad had a retirement package he was going to look forward to from the Rock Island Railroad. And my mother, in the many years, she was working at Sears Roebuck and Company on the west side of Chicago before she got married, participated in that wonderful thing called profit sharing. Now, both of those things are of faint memory today. Retirement is not given to us. It's got to be achieved and worked on.
The classic pension, Jen, has really become a thing of the past where companies are committed to a plan that will pay someone a certain percentage of their salary if they've spent their career there. Spending careers at one company has become a thing of the past for many people.
Okay, now at your firm then, you're in a law firm and you're help people design the packages. What is your wisdom to younger people in terms of planning their retirement when the last thing they're thinking of is retiring?
I think you start early. The earlier you start, the better off you are. One of the first things mentioned today was compounding.
Mm-hmm.
And compounding, if you assume an 8% return, which is a safe assumption or a historically safe assumption with the stock market for retirement, it doubles. A dollar becomes $8, then $16, then $32, and $64. If you start with a dollar at age 30, at age 62, you have $64. If you make the dollars larger and you've started then and keep this up over time, the objective is, I think, 10% of what you earn. And if you can do 15, that's wonderful. If your employer has, as mentioned earlier, a matching program,
Mm-hmm. Now,
if the employer matches, do the max. Just drive that mantra home because it's money that you otherwise wouldn't get. It's just extra money. It's tax deferred. You're not paying taxes on it.
Okay.
That's something else. If you put away $1,000 into a retirement plan, of that $1,000, you pay no tax now, only later. If you took it out, you would pay tax on it. And if you have a combination of state and federal income tax of 28%, you'd only have $720.
Okay.
You compound on money you otherwise would have paid to the government. I mean, when you're young, you think you're immortal. Well, if you really believe that, then act like it and plan for it.
Sure.
Plan to live to age 90.
Sure.
Windfalls, save them. And if you can put more in a 401k plan in a year because you've got a windfall, think of that. Now, be aware this is not money you can pull out without a penalty until you're an old guy or of 59 and a half or more without the penalty, subject to certain exceptions. I don't want to get into for disability and things like that. But the tax benefit is something to keep in mind because you really get to invest more money than you've had left afterwards.
Okay.
And you invest for the long haul. This is not short term.
Now, Dan, you mentioned just a second or two ago there, and you have to help me clarify this. Are you asking or suggesting that people try to save 10%, 15% if possible?
I would like to see someone have 10% of what they make go into a retirement plan.
Okay.
Now, that could be a total of your contribution and your employer's contribution.
Okay.
When you interview for a job, don't just ask about salary. Be very focused on health insurance, which is critical. It's beyond the scope of the day, although it has serious financial implications if you don't have it.
Correct.
But the retirement plan aspect is important. How soon will you begin to accrue benefits and how soon will you vest where the money that's put aside is yours? Any money you put away is always yours, but money employers put away can sometimes be partially yours or all yours depending upon how the plans. And as Jeff mentioned earlier, there is going to be someone at your company that can explain this to you. There'll be booklets, there'll be meetings to explain it. But thinking of that, and I've seen people over a spectrum of 25 years, and the ones who've had and taken advantage are much more at peace, comfortable, and with much more opportunity to do things like volunteer. We have a woman who's retiring who's going to do nothing but volunteer afterwards because she doesn't have to worry about living day to day.
So the wisdom here seems to be don't put off thinking or planning retirement just because you're young.
Absolutely not, because it's cheaper to do it now. Okay. You put a dollar away at 30, it would cost you $32 at age 54 to match that dollar.
And before we break, Jeff, would you say that this 10% is one of those fixed items every month that you lay out on your foundation?
Absolutely. It needs to be.
So to me, what you're saying is that the savings money is as important as your mortgage money.
Exactly. Yes.
Whatever your fixed is, part of the fixed is the future.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Another friend of ours, Jerry Duffy, who was helping us prepare for today, said that a savings account should be looked at in terms of deferring current pleasure for future pleasure.
There you go.
There's a lot of wisdom.
So are retirement plans.
And this is that whole, I think, spiritual discipline that's involved here. You know, we live in a culture that says, if it feels good right now, move on it. And we're saying, if we discipline ourselves, then the joy of life can be extended.
It creates freedom for you to do what you want later on without financial pressure. And I've seen so many people want to volunteer and they can afford it.
We're going to be back with Rich Good, Dan Coyne, Jeff Josephs, Kate DeVries, and John Cusick. Peace.
Ask people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, "You rock."
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Kate DeVries, and our special guest today. We are talking about money and the holy use of money. And we'd like to shift gears just a little bit now. There's something about the meaning of life and connecting our meaningful work with the salaries we get and doing meaningful things with the money that we have. And Rich, could you address for us a couple of minutes what stewardship is and how it works and how do we give back? You know, how can we give meaning to this thing called money?
Exactly. You know, we put some thought into this summer for a Theology on Tap conversation, And you know, the old line of the church, or what you would hear in the parish, are the readings about how money is the root of all evil, and kind of steer away from money. And that's a dangerous one, because it makes you think, oh, I don't want a plan that's thinking too much about money, and that's not a good idea. I think, and it also makes you feel like a crank when you start trying to introduce these values into the equation, because it's certainly more fun to just buy that plasma TV and not have to think twice about, oh, what does this mean about my relationship with the poor and my relationship with my values. But the great thing about the concept of stewardship is it's based in gratitude. It's based in this sense that all we have is gift, that we really have earned very little of it, that most of what we have, our talents, our life, is gift from God. And that leads to gratitude. And when you view the world through the lenses of gratitude, just whole new worlds open up, and it changes your outlook on things. And I think it starts with vocation. It starts with a sense of who am I? Who has God called me to be? And having everything sprout up from there, your career, your financial choices, the place you live, and again, your relationship with the poor. So while the concept of stewardship has many challenges, it also has so many joys attendant to it because of this sense of how grateful I am, how blessed I have been.
Mm-hmm. And Rich, wouldn't it be true then that in many ways we see the secularity of money here, but yet money backs up our values.
Right, exactly.
You know, that it young people who would save for their children to go to a Catholic school or to donate so much of what they make a year, a month, to the poor, to some sense of charity, to build that better world. And so in many ways, we are disciplining ourselves in order to give more life to the world.
I think exactly, Father. I think one of the meanings of money, and money is a complex thing. When you say you can't live with it, you can't live without it. You certainly can't live without it. It's deeply entwined in our lives. But one of the things money is, it's a method of communication.
Right.
The way you spend.
It's a good way to look at it.
And the
a
way
method
you live,
of communication.
Right. The way you spend and the way you live communicates your values. Now, that can either be done by accident or it could be done purposely. Purposely, and that's what you're talking about, Jeff, with a budget. A budget helps you to use your money in a way that matches up with the values that you hold. That's a big advantage of doing a budget. You know where your money's going. You know how your spending on electronic gadgets compares with your sharing with the poor.
Sure. Or anything else.
You keep an eye on things in that way.
Absolutely. And what a key thing, so that it's the vision you have for life is based upon the discipline to get it done and the finances to carry it out.
Exactly. I'd like to move to a macro almost on
this.
As people grow in, some of you out there may at points have your own businesses, things. I think this applies to businesses as well, that you need to set aside a certain portion of your earnings to provide these sorts of benefits for employees. Yeah, we all assume health insurance is going to be there. We don't assume necessarily retirement plans are, but they should be. That I think employers who view that create a better workplace are actually sharing with other people, which is part of what our values ought to be, to free people up from financial concerns. And it also produces a much more loyal employee base, I can tell you that. But I think you need to, one, if you're in an employer situation, to think of that. And if you're looking to be employed, you seek out places that have a concern for you as an employee, as a human being, and not just as someone that produces a work product.
Okay. I guess the only thing I would add, too, is that unfortunately, no one is going to ever get this right. Mm. And so if you're going to be a perfectionist about this, I want to have the perfect relationship with money and my values, you're going to get discouraged. I think it is to enter into the mystery of it, and to do your best, and to challenge yourself. A quote from a Jesuit that I like, "The unmet and unmeetable needs of the poor make a claim on us and on our resources." Will we ever get this perfect? Will we ever meet all the needs of the poor? No. Do our imperfect attempts at it please God, and do they have meaning? Yes.
Yep. And we are contributing to a better world. And that, to me, is always the call of Christ. What can I do with the limited talent of whatever, how you define talent, make a contribution? Am I a part of the problem or am I a part of the solution?
Exactly.
I think our call is to be a part of the solution.
And there is something about the joy of giving. You know, one of the best gifts I gave this Christmas was pulling the tag off of the tree, you know, from my church to give a gift to someone who doesn't have enough, and the food card from Dominic's along with a sweater. Just something. I mean, it just felt so good to be able to make a difference somewhere.
Rich, a number of, maybe several years ago, I let off a homily one Sunday talking about a gentleman who, when he walked out of church, I could feel he slipped something into my hand. It was obviously money. And he said, take care of some people. And I stuck it in my back pocket. And when the church crowd had left and I went back in the sacristy, I pulled out five $100 bills. Well, a family was at Mass that day with their children. And about a year later, a mother came flying into church and she said, my son has got something for you. He is going to give you all of his confirmation money. And as he walked in, he had it folded up, put it in my hand, and said, take care of some people for me. Hmm. He heard it. He remembered it. He was giving what he had. And as Kate said, there was great joy.
Right.
Great joy in giving it to someone else out of his religious conviction, of his sacrament, of commitment to faith, in confirming his faith. I darn near cried.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, you maturity know? Is giving and seeing the joy in it.
And to see the smile on parents who were basically saying, my God, something's working here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sense of social and financial responsibility.
Absolutely. I think money is not a bad thing, not the root of all evil, but it can lead to certain traps. And that the stewardship message helps us avoid those traps of thinking that that we are in control when it's God that's in control.
Or that it's all about me and the amount of stuff that I have. And as we know, a lot of stuff is not what's going to make us happy.
Now, Kate, you're telling us and you're going to lead us into a break. And when we come back, I want to ask the three of you, what happens when people get into some financial difficulty? None of this is clean. We all make mistakes. Let's talk a little bit about the other side of the coin and see if we can offer some wisdom. Would that be fair?
We'll be right back.
Wake up to Youth 2000, February 29th through March 2nd at St. Benedict Parish in Chicago.
Youth 2000 leads young people to a personal encounter with the Eucharistic heart of Jesus Christ.
Youth 2000 inspires youth to live and give witness to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For more information, visit the website missionchicago.net or call 773-588-6484.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Christians around the world celebrate the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity from January 18th through the 25th of each year. This year marks 100 years of praying for Christian unity. You are invited to celebrate this occasion at the 8th Annual Chicagoland Ecumenical Prayer Service. Leaders from nearly 20 Christian churches of Chicago will participate in the service on Sunday, January 20th at 4 p.m. at Christ Community Church in South Holland. Please call the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at 312-751-5325 for more information. That's 312-751-5325. And remember to keep in your prayers the Christian unity that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ desired for us.
I will sing a hymn of song forevermore. And welcome back to The Light Show. Father John Cusick, Rich Good, Dan Coyne, Jeff Josephs, and Kate DeVries. We invite your questions and comments. You can give us a call here at 312-751-1979. Again, 312-751-1979. We are talking about finances, and now we're going to move to a difficult segment of it. What do you do when you get into trouble? What do you do when things aren't going as you had planned them, when suddenly there is too much debt and you don't see a way out? Thoughts?
To our experts.
Everybody's like, no, don't let it happen.
I think Jeff said it earlier. First step, get the credit card debt, the revolving debt paid off with the high interest credit cards. And if you can make that your goal to get that under control in a certain amount, reasonable amount of months, that's an important first step.
Yeah, it won't happen overnight. And what you need to do is assess where you are. Get the facts straight, because oftentimes people don't even know what debts they have. As unbelievable it is that it can happen, assess where you are, work out a plan, seek help, seek advice. And you're absolutely right, Rich. It's going to take you time. But credit card debt is usually the first thing you need to take care of, subject to if your home is in trouble, you want to preserve your home and the place where you're living. You have to. But assuming you can take care of that, the credit card debt, which means probably not using them, you will have a discipline forced on you.
And along with that really is taking a fresh look at your lifestyle and whether you're living within your means.
Okay.
And really take a look at that. An expense ratio and your monthly nut of expenses, and to see really where you're at and where you think you need to get to get out of that hole.
So it's not just debt. It's how you're living your life.
Right.
That's right.
Because that's what's generating the debt.
Right.
That's right.
Now, Dan, you had said get help when you need to. Resources for help? I mean, where do you go for help when suddenly things aren't going well? Where do you go?
You start with, I think, friends.
Okay.
Possibly people at work might be able to help you. There are credit counseling services you can find online or in the phone book. I think the city has a department that you might be able to carry. I can't say that for sure, but I think that might be the case. But another thing to throw in, or a thought that just came to me, is you don't have to spend a lot of money to have a lot of fun. Our audience is primarily young. You can have a lot of fun without spending money, particularly in the city.
Yeah.
You've got tremendous resources that are free or close to free that can take up your time and have a great time without spending it. You don't need to blow a lot of money. And that's, I think, advice not only when you're in trouble, but how to keep out of trouble.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think maybe a first step would be, if you're married, to have a conversation with your spouse. Mm-hmm. I think money is a conversation a lot of us want to avoid. Mm-hmm. And to kind of face the fact we're spending more than we earn. This is not a sustainable situation. And again, are we spending in a way that mirrors what we value in life? Does our spending mirror our values? And start that discussion with your significant other.
You're absolutely right.
So often, Rich, people will say to me, Father, you talk and you counsel a lot of people, you marry them and all sorts, and they'll say, what are some of the real problems that I'm going to face as a married person, as if I know what they are? But I say, one of the things you always hear, and you've alluded to it, is just to break down the communication. And part of it has to do with we don't ever talk about our finances. Well, we just spend. You can't do that. Right, Jeff? Would you agree? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I agree. But I think when you are married to someone, it's really interesting. I have found that it's been beneficial for me to be different from my wife. And we are very different. But because we are different, that helps us, because we can contribute our own ideas and our strengths to the situation, but it's very important for us to know where each of us are coming from.
Right.
But if we were the same, we'd be in trouble. But because we're different, we are a much better team, and we're saved for the future, but we're also taking care of what we need to today.
So you have two different views looking at the same situation.
Right, but you do need to communicate about those.
Yeah, that's what's key.
You've got to talk.
Right.
You've got to discuss this, and you've got to be honest about it. Don't keep any hidden funds.
Right.
So are there different checkbooks, or is it yours, mine, and ours, or how does one do that?
We have two different checkbooks.
Okay.
We have one.
Okay. And is there a rule about not spending so much money without consulting the partner?
No, it's just more understanding than anything else.
Brian, our producer, is saying yes.
We have rules.
Oh, $100, okay.
We don't spend over something.
Thanks, Brian.
The 100 fortunately has grown over time, but it's still there's a certain amount that we just won't do because, one, it's controlling impulse buying for immediate satisfaction, thinking you want something.
Okay.
And the other just is it's a use of your resources.
Yes.
You, you know, Dan, you mentioned earlier, and maybe it's just good to bring this back, that there's got to be $100, $200, let's think about it first before we go into it, kind of spending plan.
Absolutely.
And this must certainly, Rich, suggest that this might be a strategy when people begin to get into some trouble, that they have to put a dollar amount,
absolutely.
You know, and say, I'm not spending anything. Over $100.
Right.
Absolutely.
And another way is to use cash. You have a certain amount of cash every month, and that's for the stuff that's not groceries and not in the budget.
Great.
And then once the cash is gone, that spending's gone.
Just
done.
How about when we come back from a break, Kate, we ask these three financial geniuses for one piece of advice each that they would like to share with those who have been chosen to listen to us today.
Great. And we'll be right back.
Said no to life, I wouldn't be here.
I march because I'm a survivor.
I just want to stand up for all the children who don't have a voice of their own.
I march because they can't.
I march for change.
Join hundreds of thousands in Washington, D.C. this January at the annual March for Life. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Respect Life Office is hosting its 5th annual Youth Pilgrimage, a 4-day trip open to people of all ages. For more information or to register, call 312-751-5355 or check out the Respect Life Office at www.archchicago.org. The registration deadline is December 14th, so act fast and join your voice to the cause for life. Call 312-751-5355 today.
I march.
I march because if I don't, who will?
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Neff, weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Kate DeVries, Father John Cusick, Rich Good, Dan Coyne, and Jeff Josephs. We are delighted that you are listening to us. And just so you know, and you can pass this along to any other young adults you know, we are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. If there's any way that we can help you, please give us a call, 312-466-9473. Again, 312-466-9473, or zip us an email at yam@yamchicago.org.
And as always, if you're listening to this show live today on Relevant Radio, this will also be connected, Kate, to our website.
Yes.
And this, I think this is a pretty important topic. And you'll be able to download this to iPods or your computers or MP3 players. And you may want to share this with a number of people, perhaps you know, siblings, people with whom you work, friends, to get some sense or a handle on some of the financial questions that face us today. And that will be found on our website at yamchicago.org. archdiocese.org.
And if people have further questions, please, you're welcome to zip them to us. We'll see if one of our experts can respond. We can post stuff to our website.
Yeah, fire us an email, and then we can always send those on to Rich or to Dan or to Jeff and see if they can share some wisdom, and we'll fire those back to you in an email response.
Or maybe do another show on it.
There we go.
Yay.
Okay.
But for now, one last piece of advice. What should people in their 20s and 30s be most concerned about regarding their finances? Or one piece of wisdom for young adults. Jeff?
I guess I'd like to just portray what I've learned is that the burden of finances gets heavier as you get older.
Mm.
And with respect to retirement, with respect to children, with respect to homes. Mm-hmm. So live within your means and save early and really budget that savings so that you're prepared for the future.
Great.
Thank you.
Start early.
The earlier the better.
Absolutely. Start early. Control your spending. That's the best way to save is not spend.
Okay.
Take advantage of every retirement opportunity your employers have and start as young as you can, because when you have children, you're going to be more pressed financially to be able to do it. And starting today with a dollar is worth far more than starting with a dollar 20 years from now.
Okay.
Great.
Rich?
I would certainly agree with both of those things. And then something that I would say is just let your values, let your faith into the equation, not only because it's the right thing to do, but it leads to a so much more rewarding relationship with money. And the practical way to do that, Jeff, you hit on, is do a budget, see where your money's going, and ask yourself if that matches up with your values, and if not, start moving things in that direction. And as always, include the poor in the equation.
Yeah. Support right. what you believe in.
Absolutely.
You know, if it's important
right.
to you, support it.
Right.
Yeah.
Have the money withheld if at all possible. If you don't see it, you won't spend it.
Okay. And have it withheld to the max
yes.
at an early age in life. So as Jeff is saying, start early. Our money, as Rich is saying, bespeaks our values. And always make sure that part of that value are those less fortunate than we. And whatever the employer gives you, take it to the max and hide it, because don't consider it as income. And lay your foundation well. This has been absolutely wonderful. And Kate, as I mentioned to you again off the air, that I just think we're going to need to do this again and focus on wills, insurance, and then that sticky wicket that so many people are really going to be dealing with these days, and that is the responsibility for aging parents. God bless, so many of our parents are going to be living longer than ever before. And they're going to need some help every once in a while, both the financial help and some physical help. And that can add to our financial situations. And so we're going to need to do that in a show or two down the road.
Yes. Some upcoming happenings. We are continuing with our young adult yacht clubs. Again, the one in the Orland Park area happens the second Tuesday of every month. The next one will be Tuesday, February 12th, when Father Bob Rorick does a talk on relationships. We also have a yacht club in the northwest suburbs that happens in Schaumburg, and there's a new date on that one. That will be Friday, January 18th. Their topic is the Just War Theory, the Catholic Just War Theory. And their speaker is Judy Shirelli. There are also some social events being planned by both yacht clubs. Complete details about all of the events through our office are on our website, yamchicago.org.
And if you need to contact us, you can send us an email, as Kate has mentioned, yam@yamchicago.org, or call us and our administrative assistant, Socorro Perez, at 312-466-9473.
And special thanks to all of our guests, Jeff
That's
Josephs,
right.
Dan Coyne, Rich Good from the Development Office of the Archdiocese. We are so grateful that you were here with us today.
And we hope that this is a good time of the year to talk about finances, because it's the beginning of the year, the resolution time, and maybe to establish ourselves some good discipline, yeah. put our values out there, back it up with our money, and put all of life always in God's hands. Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back on February 13th. Have a great, great month.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.